That's a different kind of transformation. As they get transformed in their bodies and grow, that's the church of the future. So, transformation. And before we get to transformation, Paul says, conformation. He says, let's don't do confirmation. Wow, let's move out of it. That's pretty impossible. I didn't watch the Reds last night, Jim. They were on rain delay forever. But boy, those Indians. Watched them last night. And any baseball game is just representative of our confirmation. Three strikes and you're out. Four balls and you walk. Right? You get four guys on base and hit the ball over the fence, it's a grand slam. If you hit the ball the wrong way outside the line, it's a foul. It's everything is conformed. Rules are the rules. The umpire lays it out. And we need confirmation in life. Driving down here this morning from Columbus, yeah, I mean, there's stop signs, there's speed limits. Cars in front of me have brakes, and I see their brakes. I know I better put on my brakes. We have to live by the rules, right? We are conformed. Of course, we know people who don't live by those rules. They're all over. Like James Foley was beheaded. Those people don't live by the rules. Their rules are also different than our rules. So we have a life where we are to be in a conformed world. And we have children who learn those confirmations. Not confirmations, conformation. They'll learn the confirmations later too. You know, the commitment to God and what it means to follow God, being confirmed. But we're today not talking about being confirmed, we're talking about conformed. Look back in our world. As the funeral for Mark Brown from Ferguson, Missouri is tomorrow. Look back 50 years ago. Philadelphia went to the riots. Big civil rights riots. And that was centered upon a woman where a police officer had mistreated. That started all those riots that went throughout my high school and college career. You all, many of you remember those. They were stepping out of the way things are supposed to be. Stepping out of conformation. Not all conformation is good. That's what Paul addressed. It's not all good. Some of these ways that are the ways, the way we think, the way we live, the way we respond, they're not all good, even though many of them are very good. Interestingly enough, as we look back 50 years ago, if we look back 200 years ago, 200 years ago this week, that's when, maybe you heard it on the radio, that's when the British captured Washington, burnt the new Capitol, burnt the new White House. Wow. The War of 1812, which finally concluded in 1814 after that happened. But see, their thoughts about what it means to be conformed and our new country, our new democracy, our thoughts were different. Again, back to Paul. Let's be not conformed, but transformed. Let's be transformed in the world. In the church, we are so so much about conformation. We sit in our pew. Anybody sit in a different pew today than you sat in last Sunday? Hey! I remember going to the Broad Street Christian Church, and we got a new associate pastor, and his wife, just a nice young woman at the time, went and sat in a pew. She created war. She sat in someone else's pew. First Sunday in church as the new pastor, associate pastor, and his wife. Wow. That's conformation, isn't it? And when your interim pastor dared to propose that we take out at least half the pews and make tables and chairs, breaking the conformation that we all set in, we worship by looking forward. You see? Now we have to decide what is important. What do we transform? Is that worth being important? Those are tough decisions to make. Would that be a new future for a church like this? Or would that be detrimental? Especially like those folks who thought it was detrimental when the pastor's, associate pastor's wife sat in their pew. So you see, transformation is always a challenge. Whether it's in my heart, individually for me, what I'm about, what I have to change in me, or what we have to change together. Because we receive all these rules that we have to learn how to obey. Sometimes it's very much a challenge to learn which ones we need not obey. I learned something this week. I've been, trying to sell my house down there in Charleston, and I've been to every kind of meeting imaginable in West Virginia, at the legislature. I had never been to the historic commission that declared my neighborhood as a historic neighborhood. And now because it's a historic neighborhood, you have to go by these rules on. You can't change your house unless the historic commission approves it. You got one in Lancaster, did it? Yeah. Well, I've been walking for years out through the neighborhood, and there's a set of apartments that doesn't quite fit in the neighborhood. We walk through all our beautiful old houses, and why did they build that? Well, I was there, and the owner was there proposing to change the windows. And oh, what a blessing. That apartment building needs new windows. The historic commission had already heard him for 1 hour a month before. Now they're hearing him again and bringing in window creators and makers and ones who would do the work. And oh, these don't match. Those windows were 1930 steel windows with all of the nice little dividers in them. And you're proposing these windows, which I thought, oh, they would look so much better. But no, we have to stick to our history. You see. So I walked out of the meeting and I said to myself, if I had gone to that meeting prior to moving to this neighborhood, I wouldn't have bought a house in this neighborhood. They don't know that they are so conformed, so stuck in history. Yes, we need history. We need that. We need the beauty of it. But somewhere along the line, how do we step out of that? How do we change? How do we be in transformation? The Bible was about that. The Bible had the great rule. What's the greatest rules in the Bible? Old Testament. Love thy neighbor. That's a pretty good one. Love God. Oh, what's those big, long 10? 10 commandments, right? Yeah, we got love over here. That's great. But we had got to obey those 10 commandments. Hey, is there a church in America that hasn't preached that? It needs to be preached. It needs to be declare, we need to bring the children up front and learn the 10 commandments. But, again, where is it a needed conform and where is it based on a transformation? I mean, it's easy to keep the Ten Commandments, but what about Leviticus? Yeah. Bring your sacrifice to the priest. Why did they pass that law? You can't make your sacrifice out in the field. Just drain all your blood out of your sheep or your calf and then say you made a sacrifice to God. Nope, you got to bring it to the priest. Is that a good conformation? Finally, we got rid of it altogether, right? Oh, Leviticus. If you're unclean, Leviticus 15. If you're unclean, that means you've got something coming out of you that's, you know, if you're a leper or if you've got a bad cough problem or whatever it is. If you're unclean, you got to stay away from everyone. Value in that. Protecting health. But it became what? A problem when all those people were abandoned. Conformation went too far. So what does the New Testament say? We bring out those Old Testament words that Jesus lifted up that you said, love thy neighbor as thyself. If we love them as ourselves and they're unclean, are we going to force them to be isolated? Or are we going to figure out a way to care for them? Just like in the world this week, the last several weeks, with the disease that has risen in Africa. We're seeing some of the nations trying to figure out how to isolate them, protect everybody over here, but there's a balance. So the question is always, whatever the problem is, do you have a love? Have you been transformed on making that decision? Even Leviticus talked about being holy as the decisions are made. So even Leviticus, which gives the rule, if you're divorced, you got to be killed. Even Leviticus steps out and says, let's be holy first. Let's love first. So in the midst of all of this strict conformation, there's a little transformation going on. There's a little love. And of course, Jesus lifts that love up. Jesus lifts that love. That is the key to the kingdom. The gospel today is about the keys of the kingdom. And that is the key. So as we look around the world, we know we need transform. As we look around our lives, we know we need transform. When was the last time I was angry at the wrong thing, the wrong person? When was the last time you were driving down the street and that person in front of you did a stupid thing and you just let it all out? I don't think that's a confirmation. That's an anger inside, but you need a transformation to say, how do I deal with that? How do I? The church needs transform. You and I have to be transformed before the church can be transformed. And a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at the world and saying, yes, we need our conform, but we need a way to step aside. We need a way to know Jesus sometimes differently than we know Him. We need to know how to evaluate whether my relationship with Jesus has changed me inside. Because that's what it's about. If it's strictly saying you follow Jesus because you're going to follow the rules, then you haven't stepped into a time of transformation. If the church is a church that's saying that If that's what we're teaching, you've got to learn the Bible, you've got to learn all these things, that fine to learn. But it's not changing you inside, giving you love, giving you peace, giving you the ability to sacrifice when you need to make a sacrifice, giving you the ability to step out in the world when you need to step out. Transformation. Confirmation. They're both here. Choose. Romans 12, chapter 2. If there ever is an important epistle verse, that's it. You can lift up Paul's letter of love, but lift up his Romans 12, 2. We need to be transformed. In the renewing of our mind. Amen.